It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning. We rebroadcast him during the weekend and also after our 12 noon news during the week. But we love speaking to him live on a Monday morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Live from Brooklyn.
That's
on
right.
Monday morning. So, a Queens boy, Bert Green, long gone, great food writer, great writer. He was other kinds of writer before he became a food writer. I was his editor at the Daily News, so I read every word of Bert and often had to call him and say, don't send us to the dictionary in a food column. What's a synonym for that? Anyway, Bert had some favorite phrases, and one of them was, know your onions. It's a phrase that his mother used to use all the time in a metaphoric way, meaning you got to know what you're dealing with. And in a way, I use it metaphorically, you got to know your ingredients in general. But today, I want to talk specifically about onions. They are not only on my mind, but on my table all the time. Even though, let me just a little asterisk here, even though I'm on this keto diet, and onions are really high in carbohydrates. A medium onion has about the same carbs as a medium apple. So, but they're good for you, and I can't think of cooking without some kind of allium. Now, it's the lily family, and it's not just onions that are in this family. Oh, where do I start? I'll start with the smallest. Garlic is in the same family, and then we can move to a seasonal onion, meaning right now, this very moment, you can probably gather ramps in your closest wooded area or at the edge of the wooded area. I don't know how healthy it is to pull up ramps in the suburbs, but if you live in the country, no problem, I'm sure. That ramps are rampant either now or very soon.
Last year we had a crisis here where 6 to 8 people in ramp season had to go to the emergency room because they picked up, they were lilies, and they were very poisonous instead of ramps. And at early stages, they looked very similar.
They looked the same. So maybe you need an expert ramp forager when you do this. I don't forage for ramps. I can buy them at the farmer's market. I was going to go to the farmer's market on Saturday, but I don't know, something happened and I decided not to. But ramp, you know, I love the taste of ramps. They're hugely expensive because they do have to be foraged. And how do you cook them? I cook them the absolute simplest way. I put them in a skillet. You rinse them off and then pat them dry and put them in a skillet with hot oil. Could be any oil, actually. But, you know, my main oil here is olive oil, although I have some peanut oil in the house these days. So a little bit of oil in the pan, just a little bit. And I guess you could do this with butter, and then just fry the ramps. As soon as the leaves will blow up and then collapse, they're done. It takes literally a couple of minutes, and maybe even less. So after garlic, and ramps have a strong flavor, and the leaves have a strong onion flavor. We go, chives. Now, I'm sure a lot of people, their chives are starting to come up in the garden, and this is really the best time to eat the chives. When you know, after you've gotten a few inches on them, they grow very fast when they start to go, because those young shoots of chive are, to me, the most delicious. Speaking of which, if you happen to have, not many people will, but Connecticut, maybe it doesn't grow, but grew here in Brooklyn, wild fennel. This is the time of the year, if you happen to have wild fennel in your garden, and I did for a long time. In fact, I just used up the last of my homegrown fennel seed. Several years old, but still as powerful as ever. Anyway, this is the time of the year to eat those fennel fronds. They have the most flavor in, when they first come up out of the ground. So let's move on up with the onion family, though. There is an onion that gets confused with a hyacinth bulb. Now, they're called cipollini. Now, the real cipollini should be a very small, flat onion, and it's not something you cook with. You eat it as a vegetable because, first of all, it's such a nuisance to have to, you know, peel all these little onions. The same, by the way, for years I made creamed pearl onions for Thanksgiving until I said, you know, I don't think I want to peel another pearl onion. So even blanching them first, it's still a chore. Anyway, the cipollini are wonderful little onions, sort of sweet, and they're, to me, the best used for sweet and sour onions, which is to say you cook the onions until they're tender, and then you put them in a skillet with sugar and vinegar and cook them until the sugar and vinegar glaze the onions. Now, but they are there's another bulb called that is a hyacinth bulb. In fact, the grape a kind of grape hyacinth bulb. In fact, if those of you who garden will know that that's Muscari, the Latin name. Well, it's also the name in Italian. But in the south of Italy, where they actually eat the Muscari, they call them lampaccioni or lampaccioni. Or lampagoni, you know, there are different dialect words, but the proper Pugliese word is lampaccioni, and these are rather bitter, and they're unfortunately, American stores often will call them cipollini, and you will think that they're little onions, and they are not. So I could do a whole program on lampaccioni because I happen to be one of those people who like them. They're very bitter, and you have to... I like them best just boiled and dressed with olive oil and a lot of black pepper. But if you go to Puglia in the spring when they're in season, you go to maybe an antipasto buffet, of which there are many, and there'll be at least two or three or four kinds of dishes made with these lampaccioni, not cipollini. So the cipollini are... For me, for making sweet and sour, you can roast them. In fact, the other day I was in the market and they had these wonderful-looking bunches, three to a bunch, of baby Vidalia onions. And I'm thinking, what to do with these? And then this Asian woman comes up with her shopping cart and loads up, I don't know, six or seven bunches of these onions, and I said, oh, what are you going to do with them? Thinking, of course, that, because she's Asian, she's going to tell me something I don't know. And in fact, she said, oh, I just cut them in half and roast them. with some olive oil. And you know what? They're delicious that way. I think I mentioned the other day, I used them to cook with, and then the greens, I just tasted the greens, and there were a lot of wonderful green. The greens were so good that I threw them into this cabbage dish that I was making. So, and did I mention chives yet?
I'm really
into chives lately, and this is the season. I did mention chives. So this is if you're gardening. The other one that I'm using a lot is shallots. Now, Mr. Harned, who is the person I cook for, I don't cook for him, but I cook. I have to make it acceptable to the audience, He doesn't like raw onion. A lot of people don't like raw onion, although I did get him to eat some the other day. I'll tell you how and what I did and what onion it was. He didn't even know this until I mentioned this in conversation with somebody else. But I've been putting raw shallot in a lot of things to substitute for the onion. I do know that he'll tolerate raw scallions, also called spring onions, another kind of onion. By the way, what we call scallions, or in some parts of the country, spring onions, are called cipollini in Sicily. And in Sicily, you can at this time of the year, they're selling big bunches of these cipollini, which are fatter than Well, if I can buy fat scallions, I've been finding lately, but not the little skinny scallions, but the nice big fat scallions, and you wrap them with a thin slice of pancetta or even American bacon. You have to put a toothpick at each end. You make a spiral up the white part of the cipollino, and each one, and you put them on the grill. Boy, is that good. So, and also, speaking of Sicily and cipollini, there is a pastry made in Catania. This is a pastry that I crave frequently, but I haven't been to Catania now in several years. They're called cipollina, and they're a really tender, almost but not puff pastry, filled with a sautéed cipollini, scallions or spring onions, as well as sometimes some cheese. I like them. I stayed in a bed and breakfast on a little piazza in the middle of Catania, on which was a bakery that made these. And so when we left the house in the morning, the smell of these cipollina drew me from the door of our bed and breakfast to the door of the bakery. So they became my breakfast pastry on that stay. I was lucky enough to be by a bakery that not only made that, but made other very Catanese dishes. In any case, let's go back to onions. So the basic onion that we all use in every which way is called we just call it in America, a yellow onion. But there are, in fact, yellow onions and yellow onions. So I must say, maybe this is because I'm old, and I remember when Texas was an epicenter of onion agriculture. I still think that Texas onions are the best. And the ones that I get are the ones that have the really nice, shiny, dark bronze, brass color, really brassy color. And they're firm. You got to be careful about that. There are some supermarket chains, I have learned the hard way, that deliver their onions to their different stores in refrigerated trucks. Now, onions should not be refrigerated. If they get refrigerated, if they get too cold, you'll end up with soft spots, and that will turn to a rotten onion in no time. So, and there's nothing worse smell, I must say, than a rotten onion. So onions, those kind of nice yellow onions is my all-purpose onion. Interestingly, in Italy, where I cook a lot, white onions are more common, I should say. And I don't want to say common, but more distributed than yellow onions. And in the province of Salerno, right where we stayed for months and months, there is a town famous for its yellow onions. Now, of course, the name is slipping me. It's like Mon something, M-O-N something. I forget now. And in fact, the co-op of onion growers in this town, in this little, it's not even a province, I'm not even sure what the political name for it, except for the town itself, has a restaurant where they make all kinds of onion things, of course, including the famous Genovese, which is the Neapolitan long-cooked onion sauce, pre-tomato onion sauce for pasta. And anyway, so what's funny is that these onions, which are delicious onions, I'm not saying they're not, are not that unusual to us in the U.S., because most of our onions are like the ones that grow in Salerno, not the white onions that are more typical. So those are the onions that I like, and I have swayed from the prescribed onions of yellow onions many times, just to see how something else would work. And I find that, for instance, the sweet onions that are coming into the market now, like Vidalia, and I think Walla Walla from Washington are coming into the market. And the other day I bought what was called a Texas sweet onion, and of course, because I do like Texas for onions, I had to buy one. It is very sweet, and I got away with putting it into a string bean salad. I wanted it in the salad whether Bob was going to pick out the onions or not, because after the salad sits for a while, the dressing on the string beans picks up the flavor of the onions, so he doesn't necessarily have to eat the onion. But he did. He ate all the onions, and he agreed that these really were sweet. It reminded me of the onion. Now, don't laugh. It reminded me of the onion we ate at the Passover Seder. Now, of course, that was early spring. Passover is in early spring. And other families would dip parsley into salt water. In my family, we dipped sweet onion in little wedges of it, just slices, but in a wedge shape, to scoop up the salt water onto the onion. And, you know, that was so delicious that we had to pass it around the table more than once. And if we were the whole family, like that was like 20-something people, then we had to have more than one onion. Anyway, even though it was symbolic, we enjoyed eating it. So I enjoyed eating this Texas onion that way. I find the sweet onions, besides that they have a higher moisture level, and so they don't brown as readily, if at all. You have to really work at caramelizing a Vidalia onion. I've made onion soup with Vidalia onions, for instance, and I did sprinkle some sugar into the pan, as sometimes even French people do, to get the onions to brown better, and they still didn't want to get brown. I make a vegetarian chopped liver, which, by the way, is very keto-friendly. It's nothing but hard-cooked eggs, walnuts, string beans. But the only non-keto thing is a lot of fried onions. You can't make it with Vidalias or any sweet onion. And in fact, that's a recipe that's in my Jewish book. In fact, one of my favorite recipes in my Arthur Schwartz's Jewish Home Cooking. And when I did book promotion with that book, and the recipe for this vegetarian chopped liver was handed over to chefs at various venues to prepare in quantity for these big book events, I found that they never cooked the string beans long enough to make it into vegetarian chopped liver. Two, can't be green. Two, they never fried the onions to make them brown. And truthfully, it's the onions, the caramelized, as we call them these days, the fried onions, the well-fried onions, that make this mixture of egg, string beans, and walnuts taste like chopped liver. Fried onions remain flavoring in chopped liver. So anyway, I don't use them for that reason, but they're wonderful in salads. Now, if you're eating potatoes, one of my favorite salads with raw onion is potatoes, string beans, raw onion. You can dice it. You can slice it. You can make it in fanciful shapes any way you like. Oil, vinegar, salt, lots of black pepper. Toss it, let it sit a while, toss it again, and do the vegetables, the string beans and the potatoes, while they're still warm. They will absorb the dressing better. And the onion. And the onion, for me, makes it. Let Bob pick it out, or your non-onion eaters pick it out. So there are a lot of people, I have to say, who claim that onions don't agree with them, or onions, they can't eat raw onions. I've had people like this in my life, and I find they're usually people who have control issues. And one of the ways they can control their own body is by denying it onions or garlic. By the way, one of the most ancient of foods, Moses supposedly survived on wild garlic when he was wandering in the desert, so by himself. Anyway, and in fact, if you watch the Ten Commandments, you'll see Charlton Heston munching on herbs and garlic in one scene. So, and they were, you know, these grow wild all over the world. It's hard to make a dish anywhere in the world without starting with garlic or onion. So I had a friend, a famous lady named Kay Armin, Armenian, remained single her entire life, although I have to say, as a close friend, we heard plenty of stories about her and men, but she never got married. She lived with her mother her mother's whole life until her mother died in her mid-90s. And I also knew Kay's sister. And the both women raved about their mother's cooking. And Kay said she was, if she ate an onion or garlic, she would die. That's how allergic she was to garlic and onions. And her sister and I used to say, well, you know, I'm sure your Armenian mother couldn't make delicious Armenian food without some onions and garlic, and her sister would roll her eyes. Well, one day we go to, Kay and Bob and I go to a Greek restaurant, and I'm careful to order her some meze that have no garlic or onions in it, and then a couple things that did have garlic and onions for Bob and me, not for her. And she's dipping into our meze plates, which is fine normally. But I have to say to her, Kay, that has garlic in it. You said if you eat garlic, you will die. And she said, oh, but it's so delicious. And she kept eating it. It was probably hummus or something like that. I don't believe that Kay's mother made anything Armenian without garlic and onions. It's just not happening.
I know
somebody, I won't even mention this person, who literally got up from the table without excusing himself because he saw that I put chives to garnish something. I don't know why. It was only a garnish. And his partner said, oh, come on back. You can just pick off the chives. He said, no, I'll get sick even if it's touched my food.
I used to like chives and sour cream and baked potatoes.
Well, so did I. But I did have scrambled eggs with chives the other morning, and that, I must say, I really liked that. And, you know, there. I'm just trying to think, did I miss any onion?
No.
I know. Red onion.
You're right, because at my house I have red onions, Vidalia onions. I have one of the small little onions that aren't really onions, but I have other fancy named onions. I forget. But
shallots?
Shallots, yes.
Well, yeah, as I said, I'm using shallots a lot lately because I find that Bob will tolerate them raw. So what do I put them in tartar sauce. I mince them extremely, extremely fine. I put them in other mayonnaise-y kind of sauces that I make. I put them in a simple oil, vinegar, minced shallot, and a tiny bit of mustard dressing. That's a favorite of ours.
Yeah, and I like the red onions on sandwiches, if I make a sandwich.
And red onion, you know, in theory, if you read about them, everybody will tell you that red onions are sweeter than yellow onions. But I don't find that to be true lately. I don't know what about the red onions I'm buying or if it's they've changed red onions, but I don't find them really sweeter than yellow onions. But I use them sometimes. And I love this tomato salad with red onion, salt, pepper, really good olive oil, and basil, and I don't put any vinegar on that. Now, you can put vinegar on the table because some people will like vinegar on that, but I just wanted oil, salt, pepper, basil, and red onion.
I think red onion.
I could eat that right now for breakfast.
I think red onion is much stronger and sharper than sweet onions.
I agree with you totally, but I'm telling you, if you read about it, You'd be hearing that they're sweeter, but they're not. Now, there is a very sweet red onion that we don't get here, but I go out of my way to get when I'm in Italy. They're from Tropea, T-R-O-P-E-A. Tropea is in Calabria, and if you drive, and Tropea is at the end of a peninsula, a little peninsula. So if you're driving down the peninsula and even onto the main, the little mainland area behind Tropea, you're going to see red onions hanging from every farm stand, every house, and they're a very interesting shape. They come to a point, and they are sweet. And in fact, I mentioned Genovese early on, which is a pre-tomato onion sauce from Naples. But I know a restaurant in Tropea that makes, they don't call it Genovese, but they make a red onion Tropea sauce like that, using red wine to emphasize the redness of the onions. And it's divine. It really is. I'm trying to remember what pasta they serve it on. It doesn't matter. Probably on a short tubular, like rigatoni, kind of, or more like ziti, penne, like that. I could look it up in my notes, but I don't remember. But I can't ever talk about onions without talking about Tropea. And by the way, there are onions all over the country that have particular qualities, because onions, as I say, grow everywhere, and they start every recipe.
That's right.
It's a prime ingredient in every cuisine in the world.
There's nothing like sautéing onions, the smell, and you get for butter. It was butter.
Oh, yes. In fact, the real estate broker's thing is, you should have something baking with cinnamon in it, butter and cinnamon and sugar, and fill up your house with that. And then I realized, no, butter and onions, much better for me. I'd buy a house that smelled of onions cooking in butter.
Now,
and I must say, often, and Bob is very good at smells, but he hangs out at the other end of the house from the kitchen, and he'll sometimes come and say, what smells so good? And there's nothing but onions and butter.
Now, before we go, update on your stove. Did they fix it, or are they in the process of fixing that?
Oh, good. Thank you for asking. Well, Benny, the repairman, came on Friday and with three parts to replace. He only got to replace one, however, which was not the part that needed to be replaced, because I have such a new model that he didn't have the right wrench to open up the top of the stove. They've changed the bolt or whatever. I didn't even go look. But he has to remove the top of the stove to get inside the stove, which, by the way, I have to say, is a much better process than some stoves, which you have to pull out to get. This is surrounded by cabinetry and countertops. Anyway, so he would immediately got on the phone with Bosch, which is the manufacturer of this Thermador stove, and he was literally on hold for over an hour. It was a little over an hour. He had to do other things, but he knows well how long it takes to get anybody at Bosch. So he called immediately, had the phone on speaker. He's a nice young man and very skilled mechanic, I think. So he replaced the igniter, but it's not the igniter. So the Bosch tells him it's definitely now, after his diagnosis, the computer circuit that is in the stove. And now Benny is waiting for the tool to open up the stove so that he can install the new computer pad, which he did, which he brought with him last Friday. So that's where we are. And where we are is I cooked something. I just bought an oven thermometer yesterday, finally. Should have had that weeks ago. But I cooked something at 250 degrees yesterday on roast, which is the only function that works in the oven. And, in fact, it heated up to I don't know what, but it was way beyond 250 degrees because I don't even want to describe what was going on. And ended up, I burned my pan. And from 250 degrees, I shouldn't burn anything.
No.
exactly. So I ended up cooking this. It was a roast, but a long, long, long. It's that long-cooked pork roast. So that should be falling off the bone. Mine just became, and I covered it with foil at one point, thinking, that'll help. but nothing helped. And then now the pan is disgusting, so I have to work on that today. So anyway, yeah, it's not fixed yet. Short answer is no, it's not fixed.
All right, well, keep us updated.
I'm only cooking on top of the stove for the next week.
All right, Arthur, we'll speak to you next week.
All right, well, thank you for asking. You know, I don't like to kvetch, but it's always a good opportunity.
All right. Take care, Arthur.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.